السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We continuing with the biography of Sayyidina Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه. And we are discussing currently the plague of Amwas. So we had discussed yesterday that Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah رضي الله تعالى عنه, he had passed away in this plague. And before he passed away, he had appointed Sayyidina Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu to lead the salah. So in the days that followed the demise of Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, the situation of the plague worsened, got worse. It was spreading faster and more people were passing away as a result of it. For a number of days, Sayyidina Mu'adh radiallahu anhu led the people in salah. But then one particular day, he stood up and he delivered the following short khutbah. He said, "O people, this disease, this sickness is a mercy from your Rabb. It is an answer to the dua of your Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it led to the deaths of righteous people who came before you. And verily Mu'adh asks his Rabb to give the family of Mu'adh a share of it." Shortly thereafter, his son Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu fell victim to the plague. When Mu'adh radiallahu anhu saw him, Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu said, "الحق من ربك فلا تكونن من الممترين." Said, "This is the truth from your Rabb, so be you not of one of those who doubt." See, father and son talking with Quran. Today we don't know Quran. So the father sees the son, obviously the parental shafqat etc. is going to come in. So the son says to the father, that الحق من ربك فلا تكونن من الممترين. To which Mu'adh radiallahu anhu replied to his son. He said to him, "ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصابرين." That inshallah, if Allah wills, you shall find me to be of the patient ones. So this was what Ismail alayhi salam had said to his father Ibrahim alayhi salam. So only a short while passed before Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu passed away. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu performed the janazah salah and buried him. Only a parent who buried their own child will know what it is. You will never be able to understand until you have your own children. And even if you have your own children, you'll never be able to understand what the grief of a parent is who buries their own child. So Mu'adh radiallahu anhu buried his son, and he just returned from the Qabristan and he too fell ill. Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, he too fell ill. He felt a great deal of pain. But when his companions would visit him, he would muster the strength to impart to them some final words of advice. He would say to them, "Strive to do good deeds, for as long as you are given respite, as long as you have hayati, do good deeds. And for as long as you are given life, before the time comes when you will wish that you can do good deeds, but you will not be able to do them." So now you are sitting in Allah's house. You got an opportunity, you are sitting. Your cash register is clicking away there. Sawab, clicking away. The time will come when we'll pass away. And we'll be in our qabr. And it will be the month of Ramadan Sharif. And we'll wish at that time that if only I could partake in some program, if only I could keep roza on a hot day, if only I could stand in Tarawih, You'll wish at that time. You'll have all the time on your hands. You won't be able to do anything. There's no a'mal in the akhirat. There's no a'mal in the akhirat. And even if a person had a lot of love for a certain good deed, and if Allah Ta'ala gives him this bounty, allows him to perform that deed in the qabr, as has happened in the past, right? So he'll be able to perform that deed in the qabr, but there's no sawab for it. Sawab is only here, in the dunya. And to attain sawab, the place is here. Once we pass away, finish. We don't like to use this example because it's a kafir sport. But just to understand the soccer. So if the time out is at 45 minutes and you never score the goal, after the referee blows the whistle, you can go score 10 goals. It doesn't count. What you scored in the time of the match, that is what counts. So you understand your hayati like that. What is done while alive in the world, that is what counts. After going into the qabr, nothing. So he says that a time will come when you will wish you did the good deeds, but you will not be able to do them. Spend what you have on good causes before you die and leave behind your wealth for your heirs. And know that all that you have from your wealth is that which you eat, you drink, you wear, and you spend in the path of Allah. That's all that's yours. Nothing else is yours. You give what you have and then you move on. Everything else goes to your heirs. It's not yours. When Muaz radiallahu anhu suffered from the pangs of death, he repeatedly passed out. Like Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the last moments, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was passing out, gaining consciousness, passing out. So like this, Muaz radiallahu anhu, he was passing out, regaining consciousness. But when he regained consciousness, he would open his eyes and he would say, "Oh my Rabb, choke me as only you can." And you're in the end now, that gharghara, you can't breathe. You see. You're trying to take in breath, it's like you're choking. So he's expressing love at that time. He's experiencing the pangs of death, but he knows it's from Allah Ta'ala, and he's expressing love, saying, "Ya Allah, you choke me, like only you can. By your glory and majesty, you indeed know that my heart loves you." And when death finally came to him, Muaz radiallahu anhu said, "Marhaban ya maut." So welcome, O death. Welcome, O death. Welcome to a visitor who comes when he is most needed. Those who regret at this time, when you are passing away and at that time you're regretting that why I'm passing away, why I'm leaving the world, those people do not succeed. Oh Allah, you indeed know that I did not want to stay in this world for the flowing of rivers or for the planting of trees. That was not my objective of living in this world. Instead, I wanted to stay in order to struggle, make mujahada, to pray deep into the night, make ibadah deep into the night, in order to fast during the long hours of the day, while suffering the thirst of the intense midday heat, and in order to crowd around the ulama in circles of knowledge. That's all that I wanted from this world. I didn't want anything else from this world. At the time of the death of Muaz radiallahu anhu, he was 38 years old. Young man. 38 years old. But look at his deep love for Allah Ta'ala, his insight, foresight, his sabr at that time. Before he passed away, Muaz radiallahu an appointed Sayyidina Amr bin al-As radiallahu an to be his successor. So Amr radiallahu an performed his janazah salah. It was Amr radiallahu an who entered his qabr and placed him in his lahad. The side, in the qabr, they make a lahad. He put him there. So again, I can't help but pointing this out, that so many people were passing away, but they were not saying, no, you mustn't bury your dead, you mustn't go near, you mustn't touch. No. They did everything. They did everything with their own hands. A number of Muslims also entered into Muaz radiallahu anhu's qabr. When Amr climbed out of the qabr, he said, may Allah have mercy on you, O Muaz. From what we knew of you, you were sincere to the Muslims, and you were one of the best amongst the Muslims. You were well-mannered with the ignorant, you were harsh with the wicked. Those who were evil, had wrong things they wanted to do, you were harsh towards them, and you were merciful towards the believers. After Abu Ubaidah and Muaz radiallahu anhu passed away, Amr bin al-As radiallahu anhu now became the commander. He became now the commander of the Muslim army. So now he's thinking to himself, what am I going to do now? So many people are passing away. So one thought came to his mind. He told the people, he says, see, go away to the mountain tops. The air is cleaner, you'll be able to breathe better. So find some higher ground, go to some higher ground. And then he wrote a letter to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So after making salam and praising Allah Ta'ala, etc., he writes, Muaz bin Jabal, may Allah have mercy on him, has passed away. Death is now rampant among the Muslims here. So then he explains that he has given permission to the Muslims to go on to higher ground. But he says, see what he writes, this is Iman. He writes, he says, I indeed know that staying here will not bring anybody closer to death, and going up will not take anybody further away from death. The death is something decreed. This is just something we are using, some asbab, which is permissible asbab, we're making use of it. But maut is decreed by Allah Ta'ala. Who's going to pass away is going to pass away. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah Ta'ala be upon you. Muaz radiallahu anhu's death occurred soon after the death of Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu. So it was not easy for Umar radiallahu anhu to read Amr's letter. You see, they were not like leaders of today. To them, they felt responsible for each person. Umar now is Amirul Mu'mineen. He's hearing now, senior sahaba are passing away there. It's finishing him up inside. He feels responsible for them. Right? So he had just finished mourning the death of Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah. And now this news came. So again he wept in sadness. And Sahaba radiallahu anhu that were with him, they too wept. And Umar radiallahu anhu said, may Allah have mercy on Muaz. Through the death of Muaz, Allah Ta'ala has lifted from this ummah a great deal of ilm. And he was a very knowledgeable person. How often did we accept his sound advice only to see that it led to goodness and blessings? A young man. How great the knowledge was that he benefited us with, and how wonderful the guidance was that he directed us towards. May Allah reward him with the rewards of the righteous ones. Then also, in this plague, Yazid bin Abi Sufyan, he also had passed away in this plague. And Shurahbil bin Hasana radiallahu anhu also passed away in this plague. If Allah Ta'ala takes you, and you go and visit that whole belt where this amwas, where this plague had taken place, when you come to all the kubur of these Sahaba radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Muaz radiallahu anhu and his son Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu, they are buried next to one another. Shurahbir bin Hasana is in another place. Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah radiallahu anhu is in another place. Now after all of this, when all this is happening now, what do you think Umar radiallahu anhu does? Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, no, now I have to journey to Sham. Now I have to go to Sham. Why? See, so many commanders have passed away. People are writing to me. They don't know what to do. Why? People's estates need to be wound. So many people have passed away now. All their wealth, properties, whatever they earned from the Mali Ghanimat, war booty, etc. Now this is amanat, now it needs to be given to their heirs. Now who's going to do this? Second thing is, there is a fear now that the Romans may think that the Muslim army is gone weak. So many of their senior commanders all have passed away, so this would be a perfect time now to attack them. Right? And the third thing is that you see, when there is difficulty, people need a strong leader. A leader can't be now, he's sitting and crying and now he doesn't know what to do, and no, I'm not going there, what if I get sick? No. A leader needs to be somebody strong, he has to lead his people. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he now decides that he needs to make safar. He consulted the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, made mashura with them, and then he decided that he needs to go to Sham. The first place I'm going to go to is Sham. The other places also I need to go, but first place I'm going to go to is Sham. And this was a big task now, to sort out all these people's wealth, all their affairs, to distribute it to their heirs. Take, because plus minus 20,000 people had passed away. We can't even imagine this. In one plague, in a short period of time, 20,000 people passed away. So during this time, when Umar arrived in Sham, he busied himself now with all these important tasks, etc. And then now he needed to appoint new governors also. So many of the governors had passed away, so he did this also. Appointed certain people, different places, military commanders, etc. One day, it was time to perform salah. Namaz time came. The people went to Umar radiallahu anhu and they said to him that, oh Umar, why don't you instruct Bilal radiallahu anhu to give azan? Bilal radiallahu anhu, he had left Madina Munawwara in the era of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He headed towards Sham and he remained there in jihad. So now he never gave azan after. He shouldn't give azan. After Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam passed away, he gave one azan in Madina Munawwara. After that he said, he will not give azan. He was the muazzin of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Now he can't give azan. So the Sahaba Nawnum, they went to Umar radiallahu anhu and said, why you don't request him, tell him to give azan. So Umar radiallahu anhu agreed to fulfill their request, and he spoke to Bilal radiallahu anhu and told him to give azan. So Bilal radiallahu anhu also agreed to give the azan. So Bilal radiallahu anhu had a beautiful and a powerful voice, but it was not the quality of the voice that moved the hearts. When he gave azan that day, every person who was alive in the era of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they heard this azan of Bilal radiallahu anhu, what memories of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam were rekindled in their hearts. Every person began weeping. They wept so much that their beards were dripping with their tears. Umar radiallahu anhu also was weeping. And the people who were non-sahaba, the tabi'een, they didn't know what it was to hear the azan in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But looking at the sahaba radiallahu anhu weeping, they too started weeping. They too began weeping. So before leaving to go back to Madinah Munawwara, Umar radiallahu anhu delivered one final khutbah to the people of Sham. He said, "Verily, I have been appointed over you, and inshallah I have done that which Allah Ta'ala has charged me to do regarding your affairs. We have divided your spoils of war among you, and we have allocated to you land to live upon. We have given you all that we have. We have mobilized armies to protect you, and we have fortified for you the borders of our lands. If anyone among you knows that there is something left for us to do, then inform us and we will do it." It's all about fulfilling my obligation to Allah Ta'ala. Inshallah. And then he said that there is no strength except with Allah. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Umar radiallahu anhu delivered this khutbah just before that salah which Bilal radiallahu anhu had given the azan for that salah. After that, so they were, sahaba radiallahu anhu were concerned also with regards to the Romans, that they mustn't make an attack. The Romans were in fact aware of the scope of the plague, and perhaps knowledge of that did not make a difference to them. After all, it is likely that after the Roman army suffered numerous defeats at the hands of the Muslims, a sense of hopelessness had crept into the hearts of the Roman soldiers. And perhaps that is what prevented them from attacking the Muslims in Sham. Furthermore, the inhabitants of Sham were quite content. That means the non-Muslims living in Sham, they were very content to live under Muslim rule, rather than have their Roman leaders ruling over them. They were more happier to live under the Muslim rule. So it was senseless for them to come and try and make an attack. So Allah Ta'ala protected the Muslims from that also. And we'll stop there for today. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah wa bihamdik. نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعفة والأمانة وحسن الخلق والرضا بالقدر. لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار. وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. والحمد لله رب العالمين.